Amen. See, it is a joy to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and appreciate the Lord meeting with us last night and the night before. And it's quite evident that people began seeking the face of the Lord last night, more so than maybe before, because if you've not noticed, there's more joy in the service tonight. And a part of the message last night is blessed they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. And been a little bit more joy here tonight. A little bit more smiles, a little more hands going up. And I believe it paid to meet with God around the altar last night and seek Him for the meeting. And I appreciate you standing tonight to honor the reading of God's Word. We'll turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Really going to take off kind of where I left off last night. And believe that to be the will of the Lord for the service tonight. Pray the Lord will help us in a very special way. Ephesians chapter number 5. And when you find your place, let's look together tonight at verse 16. The Bible said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'm going to focus in tonight on verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's bow in His presence and ask the Lord to help us again tonight. Father, in Jesus wonderful name. We understand that without You, all is in vain. We need Your power. Lord, we need Your unction and the understanding of the Lord. We might be able to preach exactly what You'd have us to preach tonight in this service. Lord, we need that discernment, that direction, Lord, that only You can grant and give. And Lord, I pray we'd be a vessel in Your hand, used for Your glory and honor tonight, that Jesus might be magnified, that the church might be edified. And Lord, I pray You do Your work in these days. Revive us again, O God, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee. And Lord, we truly do desire revival in our own heart this week, a renewal in our walk with You, a closeness, Lord, that we so desperately need. And Lord, I pray that it would just do a work in this church, in every home, in every heart. May we be different when the week's over than when we began. And we're going to give You the praise now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. I thank You for standing to honor the reading of the Word of God. Now we find that Paul is pleading with Ephesian believers about living in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's important for us to note that beginning at verse 18 down through verse 21, the thought of being filled with the Spirit is continued on in the context. Note, if you will, the use of this semicolon at the end of verse 18, the end of verse 19, and also at the end of verse 20. Now that would indicate to us that these phrases are to be joined together and that emphasis is being placed upon the Spirit-filled life in this context of the Scripture. And so I'm very thankful that these truths are given to you and I, and they are imperative for the enjoyment of the Spirit's power in our lives as God's people. We must understand tonight, without Me ye can do nothing. He didn't say we can do some things or a few things. Without the Lord, we can do nothing of eternal value. And so tonight, my greatest need and your greatest need tonight is for the presence and the power of God to have the preeminence in our lives so we can be used of the Lord to accomplish His divine holy will. Now, as we begin to think about this, there is in this Ephesian epistle, as it continues on, there's a great tie between our human relationships and our relationship to the Holy Spirit of God. In essence, we're not going to be right in any other relationship if we're not in right relationship to God in our own personal life. And so may God help us see that. The Bible speaks here about being right in the Spirit of God, and it'll help us be right with our companions, as seen in chapter 5, verse 22, and down through verse 33. The home life will never be right if we're not in communion with the Holy Ghost inside that home. Now to say honestly, if we would be filled the Spirit of God as a husband, and if our wives were filled the Spirit of God as wives, then it would do away with all the marriage counseling that's needed in this hour. Oh yes, because if we're full of the Holy Ghost, we're going to prefer other over self, and the marriage home will be in its rightful place, and God will honor and God will bless the home. Then we also see in Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 4, that to be right with the Spirit of God will enable us to be right with our children. And so the Word of God's dealing with our children and raising them, rearing them, and loving them as God would design for us to do. Then also, to be right with the Spirit of God will help us be right with our CEOs or those that are masters, as seen Ephesians 6, verse 5, down through verse number 9. And so when you take verse 18 and you fail to comply with verse 18 of being filled with the Spirit of God, then you're going to fail in the home, you're going to fail down at the job, and you're going to fail with your children. And so God is letting us see through the Apostle Paul here the great necessity of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to preach tonight with the help of God on Paul's plea for personal power. Paul's plea for personal power. And I'd like to make this statement on the onset of the message that the truth is that our spirituality is our own individual responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the pastor. It's not the responsibility of your spouse. It's not the responsibility of your church members concerning your own individual spirituality. That is your responsibility. I've often heard people say, well, I'd be more spiritual if the preacher did this, or I'd be more spiritual if my spouse did this. Oh, no, you're as spiritual as you want to be in your own individual life. And so may God help us understand the necessity of walking in the power of the Holy Ghost day by day. It is a neglected truth, but a much needed truth in the generation that we're living in. I think we often find ourselves like Samson in the Bible in Judges 16:20, where the Bible said, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now we know as believers, he never leaves you and I that are truly saved by the grace of God. He stays with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. I'm thankful for that. But can I say he don't always manifest himself in our lives as God's people. And sometimes the hand of blessing seems to be withdrawn because of the sin and shame that we bring upon the holy name of the Lord. You see, he got out of touch with God and he lost a touch of God in his life. He didn't feel any different that morning when he got up. He didn't even recognize or realize anything was wrong. He went on about the daily battles he'd fought many times before. But oh, something was different that day. As he encountered the enemy, he lost at the hands of the enemy. What was different? Well, it was the power of God had been withdrawn from his life. And can I say that's where we are many times in the hour in which we live. We've been accustomed to God winning the battles in our life. We get cold and callous and forget about being consecrated to the Lord. And next thing we know, we're not walking in the Spirit of God. And we begin to operate in the energy of our flesh. And we find defeat at the hand of the enemy. See, none of us are able to overcome Satan of our own self. None of us can face the world we live in our own power and strength. Oh, no. We got to have the power of God if we're going to live victoriously in this present evil world. And so may God help me tonight and help you tonight concerning this matter of having personal power with God as we walk along life's journey. I think first we see there's the expectation of the Spirit-filled life that is revealed in the text before us. He said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This verse contains both a dual command and it expresses both a negative and a positive command before our holy God. We are not to be drunk with wine. And oh, by the way, we're not to drink wine either. Amen. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, according to Proverbs 20 and verse number 1. And so alcohol should have no part in the life of the born-again believer. Can I get amen right there? And so we understand that. We can all establish and say amen that it is a sin to be drunken with wine or to use intoxicating beverages. But we want to say this. It's also a sin tonight to not be filled with the Spirit of God. And oftentimes we neglect that truth, but we need to understand that. So this verse is letting us see here God's design And God's desire for your life is that you operate in the power of God the Holy Spirit. God don't want any of us doing it ourselves. Oh no, we're not part of a mission from God. We're part of the great commission. That is, we're to labor in His power. We're to labor in His strength to accomplish His work and His will for the glory of God. And so there is an expectation in heaven tonight for you to live your life in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'm going to say it ought to be the expectation of every church member that we walk in the Spirit of God. This is not a mere suggestion from God in the Bible. It is a command of God. We have been commanded to live in such a way. John 15 verse 16, Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain." Sometimes people say, well, the Great Commission's not found in John's Gospel. Right there, he says we're to go and we're to bear fruit. That's the Great Commission to me. We're to go with the Gospel and bear fruit for the glory of God. And you know, if we're going to do that, we've got to abide in Him. We've got to walk with the Lord and commune with the Lord. And as we walk with God, He'll empower us to do the will of God for our lives. So there is an expectation tonight in every believer's life. Oftentimes we think about how the pastor or the preacher should be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I say, amen, we should be. But can I just remind us all, every Christian, everyone on the pew, everybody that's been born again, saved by grace, you have a responsibility to be right with God and live for His glory and His honor and walk in His direction and leadership for your lives day by day. And so may the Lord help me and help you see that there is an expectation from God on all of our lives to be filled with the Spirit of God. Can I say that is how it should be? But oftentimes we fail to live the way we should live. But there is still that expectation from God. We'll meet the Lord one day at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of our stewardship. And so I want to walk with Him and talk with Him day by day so the Spirit's power can operate in my life to help me be what the Lord would have me to be. Then we see, secondly tonight, there's the explanation of the Spirit-filled life. Just as someone that is drunk with wine finds themselves controlled by the substance of that wine, you and I that are saved by the grace of God are to be controlled by the Spirit's leadership and guidance. And so we know that and understand that. I mean, when you got saved by the grace of God, every believer had saved by the grace of God, he took up residence at salvation. I will say this, after you get saved, he come in to take up residence, but now he wants to be the president, hallelujah. And he wants to be in charge and in control. He wants to be the one that calls the shots in our lives. I'm going to be honest with you in this hour. I don't think there's a lot of people in churches letting God really call the shots in their life. I think they give them the extra time they have. But oh, it's God's intention that we be led and directed and guided by God the Holy Spirit in all that we do for His honor and for His glory. He wants spiritual precedence in our lives day by day. And I think about this, the inward workings of God should be key to the outworking of God's will in your life. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Oftentimes, preachers will stop right there and they'll quote that verse, but they will not look at the next verse in its context. Now, here's what I'll say. You can't work out what God ain't worked in. And so we understand this. What He's letting us understand is in verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So the Spirit of God is seeking in His office work in the child of God to work the will of God into our hearts so that will can be worked out in our lives day by day. Now the disconnect comes in the fact that we're not heeding and hearing the inner workings of the Spirit of God. And then we begin to operate in our power and our strength and our abilities. and we find ourselves barren spiritually. And God, help us tonight. We see faith activates the Spirit's power, but His faithfulness, it actuates it. You see, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, I mean, it's a simple Bible truth that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. If you can't trust God for His power to work in and through your life, you never will live filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, He's grieved when we don't trust Him and believe Him. Faith activates it, but faithfulness actuates. Old timers had it right when they used to sing that hymn, "Trust and Obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and to obey." And I'm going to say tonight, if we're going to have the Spirit's power in our life, we're going to have to trust God and obey God again from our hearts. In the early church, in the book of Acts, we know that they obeyed the leadership of God, the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, that book is referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, but some men have referred to it as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And certainly we see the Spirit of God at work in the early church. And the one thing we can glean from the book of Acts is how much they depended on the power of God to perform the ministry God had entrusted them with. And can I just remind you again, we still need the power of God in 2024, maybe more so than any other time. We need God's touch, and we need God's help and His hand in these days. So may God work that in us tonight. Acts 4:33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Great power was tied to great grace. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the greatest need of this church, and the greatest need of my church, and the greatest need of every church just about I'm in today, is the fact we need God's power. We need the touch of God. We need the hand of God. We need to let Him have His will and way in our hearts and lives, and just simply obey His leadership and His direction, and let God do something in these days to glorify and honor His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, the book of Acts shows how vital it was to live in a victorious Christian life that they live and operate in the power of God the Holy Spirit. They walk with God, and you find them boldly working for God and witnessing for God everywhere they went. I'm going to say this honestly with all my heart. I don't mean this to sound bad, but you'll never need a soul winning class or a witnessing class if you really get full of the Holy Ghost. Because you get full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to work out what God's put in you, and you're going to be an effective witness for the Lord. In the book of Acts, they didn't need a class about it. They had the presence of God, and they just went about and did the will of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say, if we just get the presence of God in our lives again, we'll be witnessing and working for His glory. A church that is operating in the Spirit's power is always going to be a busy church. And whenever you and I get to the place that we're not operating in the Spirit's power, you'll find that we begin to back up a little bit in the work that God has called us and equipped us to do. And so may God help us. I will say, oftentimes we're defeated today because we are not as dependent upon Him as we really need to be. How many agree with that statement? And I believe this, our deadness and our dryness reveals there's a great disconnect between His divine dealings, His divine directings, and His divine desires for you and I tonight. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, we don't have to live the Christian life just existing. We can live the Christian life excelling. We don't have to live in the wilderness. Thank God we can operate in Canaan land, the land of more than enough. Hey, I'm telling you, if you can just understand, God has better things tonight for this church. But to get those better things, you've got to follow Him. You got to follow the leadership of the pastor God has given you and His vision for this church. You see, all through the Word of God, Israel got in trouble every time they began to operate outside the parameters of God's ordained leadership. And you find them getting in trouble. I mean, you can go back to the book of Joshua, even in the ministry of Joshua, as he begins to excel in that ministry. There was times of great failure, and many times it's because they did not heed the voice of the man of God. Anybody remember what happened at Ai? He told them to go spy it out. But they developed their own battle plan and went to war. And they lost. Amen. I'll tell you, God never set it up for anybody else to divine the battle plan. God set it up for that pastor of the local church to be that leader that God has set in there to lead the flock of God in the performance of the will of God. And I'm telling you, friend, when people get full of the Holy Ghost, they'll be right with their pastor. They'll be right with other people. They'll be right in their place. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's a difference it makes when we're filled with God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God never called anybody to be the preacher's boss. That's God's job. Amen. Well, that didn't cost a dime, but I'll preach it while I'm here. Amen. Amen. The explanation of the Spirit-filled life is that the Spirit of God is controlling us, and so God expects us to be filled. But number three, the Word of God then introduces us to this environment for the Spirit-filled life in verse 19 and 20. He tells us how we are to maintain a Christ-honoring environment in our own individual lives in a way that the Spirit of God would be pleased to dwell in us. Now, He lives in every believer, but we are to desire to be a dwelling place that's acceptable unto Him. A place that He's welcomed and He's wanted in our lives. Now the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfect and holiness in the fear of God. And so God's letting us know that the Spirit of God desires to sanctify us and set us apart for His honor and glory. You know why? He wants us to be more effective in our service to God, and we'll never be effective in our service for God if we're not set apart first for His honor and for His glory. So tonight it's important, the environment that we maintain for the Spirit of God to work in our lives. In other words, you can't just come to church and push an easy button and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what a lot of Baptists want to do. They want to be carnal Monday through Saturday, come to church on Sunday, pump and prime a little bit, find an easy button to hit where the power of God will be there, and then when they go home, cut it off. It don't operate that way. You see, the Spirit of God is not an it. He's a person. And as a person, He desires to be welcomed and wanted in your life. And listen, He wants you to willfully submit to His leadership. And so there's emphasis put here by the Apostle Paul, and the emphasis is on our words and on our worship. Can I tell you, it matters what we say, and it matters what we're singing. Amen. In verse 19, he said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, sacred music should be the song of our hearts as the children of God. Sacred music moves our hearts toward the Lord. I want to say this. Secular music moves our hearts toward the ways of this land. Sacred music moves your heart toward Christ. Yep. Secular music moves your heart toward carnality. Yep. Right. You're not going to be full of the Holy Ghost listen to all the worldly music and filling your life with all that stuff. Oh, no. Listen, I'm telling you, we live in a generation today that wants the power of God without any consecration, without any kind of commitment, without any coming apart from the world and being separated. I'm telling you, friend, if you want the touch of God on your life, you got to be willing to empty yourself so you can be filled with the Spirit of God. So what about the atmosphere that we maintain? I'm not talking about just at church. I think we all understand it's vitally important that we keep a godly atmosphere in the house of worship. But what we really need to understand is we in actuality are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We as the individual people in the church, we are the church. Wherever we are and whatever we do and however we live is going to be very much instrumental in what happens when we come together as the people of God on these grounds. So God wants an environment in your life that the Lord is pleased with. I'll never forget years ago, I got saved by the good grace of God, and I say hallelujah for salvation. But you know, when I got saved, it didn't take away every problem I had in my flesh. When I first got saved, I still had a struggle with this thing called country music. And I was working one day out on the farm, and I had my tractor radio on, and I was listening to country music, and the Holy Ghost pulled up inside that tractor cab and said, son, how can you glorify me listen to a song about drinking and carousing and chasing women and ungodly stuff. And I said, well, Lord, I don't do none of that stuff, and I just don't even really listen to that. He said, well, how can you glorify me listening to it? If you wouldn't live that way, why would you listen to it? You know what? The Lord helped me then to get that out of my life. I used to get mad at preachers that preach against it. And guess what? I'm one of the preachers now preaching against it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's what the difference the Spirit of God makes in your life. He begins to single things out in you and say, this ought to go and this needs to be out. And He does that because He loves us and He longs to work in our life and have a more active place in our life. I say, thank God for the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. The atmosphere is important. You see, a lot of times we compare the ministry of mama to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the setting of the home. You wives have more to do with the atmosphere of your home than anybody in the home. God has given that man as principal, but that lady, she's passion. And God made us as different as night and day, and we all say hallelujah to God for that. In a world that don't want to rightly divide between the difference, thank God, I'm glad God made a distinction and God made a difference when He made them from the beginning, male and female, and they ain't nothing else. Amen. God made you what you are. We thank God for that. See, God made the man and woman unique, and He made them different, and He made them to complement one another. And the Spirit of God sets the atmosphere in our lives, and just like the wife sets the atmosphere in the home. And I'm going to say tonight, we want the Spirit of God to have the right kind of atmosphere to dwell in.
Amen.
Where that He can feel comfortable in you. And I want to ask you, is the Spirit of God comfortable with what you listen to?
Right.
Is the Spirit of God comfortable with what you watch on television if you have one? Is the Spirit of God comfortable with what you look at on the internet?
Right.
Amen. You see, we live in a generation today that there's a lot of things going on in churches we like to turn our heads from and just pretend like it ain't happening. I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot of evil coming inside the house of God through the world that's around us. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's grieved in this hour. There's not a problem with God's power. Oh, no. There's not a problem with God's person. Oh, no. The problem is with God's people. You and I have drifted from the Lord. One preacher said it like this, we've become so much like the world, and the world's become so much like the church, nobody can tell the difference. And there's a lot of truth in that. God wants us to have an environment that pleases and honors God. And so personal worship is the thought behind this precious passage of Scripture here. Something that the message and the melody points us to the Lord.
Amen.
Music in church, and I just want to stop and hit that on the way. Music in church still should have the right melody, and it still should have the right message.
Amen.
And if it's not scriptural and it's not biblical and don't point us to the Lord, then we don't really need it. Amen. Well, I know that ain't popular in our day and hour. But I'll tell you, thank God, it makes a difference.
Yes, sir, it does.
It makes a difference what kind of environment we have at the house of God and the environment we have down at our house.
Right.
Amen. I'll tell you, friend, when the Spirit of God is reigning supreme down at the house, He'll reign supreme in the house of worship.
Amen.
So we need God down at the house, and we need God in the house of worship tonight. Then, number four, there's the evidence of the Spirit-filled life. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so the Spirit-filled life is a fruitful life according to God's holy word.
Amen.
If you were to ask many people in this hour, what is the evidence of someone being filled with the Holy Ghost of God? They say, well, they shouted. Well, they run the aisle. Well, they hooped and hollered. And listen, I'm not against those things in their proper place. But a lot of people shout at the ball game. And a lot of people run at the ball game. And a lot of people get emotional at the ball game. But that's not spiritual. See, you may do those things as you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but those are not the key evidences that someone is filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Here's the truth of the matter. In this hour in which you and I live, I have a great burden that many in church cannot distinguish the difference between a carnal and a corrupt person that has talent and a consecrated and Christ-like person that has a touch from God. And the reason that we can't distinguish between what's real and not really real is because we don't walk close enough to the Holy Ghost to distinguish and discern that there's a difference that is made. You cannot manufacture a move of God. God moves, we can draw nigh God, and God will move, but it's not you and I manufacturing it. It's something that God does in His divine movement. Hallelujah. And so tonight I thank God for the evidence of a fruitful life. And there are 9 things mentioned as fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace are inward. A person that's filled with the Holy Ghost of God is full of love. A person that's full of the Holy Ghost is full of joy. A person that's full of the Holy Ghost is full of peace.
Amen.
Now, I just want to stop right there and say these inward fruit of the Spirit of God. If a person was really full of God like they think they are, then why is there so much bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking going on in the house of God? Why is there so many grudges? See, the truth is, we know about His office and ministry. We know it by fact.
Right.
But very few know it by experience.
That's right.
I believe it's Dr. Stennett Blue in his book said that 80% of professing Christians will never live their life Spirit-filled. Now you think about that. Dr. Blue had been on the road many years preaching many churches, and I think God gave him great insight into that. And I'd have to say that when I read the fruit of the Spirit of God, I'd have to say I have to agree, sadly, because you go around the land, you don't see a lot of love, don't see a lot of joy, and don't see a lot of peace in people's lives. That's not all. That's the inward result of being filled with the Spirit of God. But he also says there's the outward result of long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. The way we treat other people should be in a long-suffering, gentle, and a good way.
That's right.
Now, I know that there have been independent Baptists that were not Spirit-filled, and it was quite evidenced by their critical, mean, wicked spirit that they had. I don't care who it is. I don't care how popular they've been. I'm telling you, a man that's full of the Holy Ghost, he has some long-suffering about him. He has some gentleness about him. And he has some goodness about him in how he deals with other people. You say, why is that? Because he's a forgiven one. And if you've ever been a forgiven one, you know what it is to forgive. And if you've ever needed mercy from God, you know what it is to give mercy to others. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, friend, a person that's full of the Holy Ghost has love, joy, peace. They're long-suffering. They have gentleness and goodness. But then the Bible said there are 3 Godward things that they possess. Look what these 3 things are. He said they are faith, meekness, and temperance. A person that's filled with the Holy Ghost is not dabbling in doubt every day of their life.
That's right. Amen.
You know one reason why people are operating in a spirit of fear? I'm talking about people that have really even got saved and they're struggling and day in and day out. It's one fear after another fear that bothers them. You know why that is? Because they're operating in their flesh and they're not operating in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Now somebody said, I don't think a Christian could ever doubt. Well, you got to tell that to Thomas. And you go tell that to John the Baptist.
That's right.
John the Baptist is in prison. And he sends those disciples to find out, are you the one that said you come? He already knew he was.
Right.
He already made that declaration of faith that behold, the Lamb of God would take away the sin of the world.
That's right.
And yet we see he came to a place. What happened to him? You know what I believe got what happened to John the Baptist? I believe he got worrying. I believe he got fretful. I believe he got in his flesh. If we're all honest, we get there. But I'll tell you what, you get in communion with God, and you begin to commune with Him, get things clean between you and God, and I'll tell you that'll do away with the doubting in your life.
Amen.
You're saved by the grace of God. You'll have faith in your heart. Hallelujah. And the Bible said only faith, but there's going to be meekness. I'll tell you, a man that's been walking the Spirit of God, he's an humble man. He recognizes it's not anything in him. Everything he is because of Christ Jesus, plus nothing and minus nothing. It's not our intellect. It's not our ability. It's not our powers. Oh, no. It's the power of God, and it's His person that gets all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Man that's walking in the Spirit of God is also going to be someone that has temperance.
Amen.
The ability to control self.
Yep.
Are you going to get mad? Sure you are. But the Bible said be angry and sin not.
Amen.
You're full of the Holy Ghost of God. Things will come in your life that will make you angry. But you'll find the Spirit of God will constrain you. And He'll help you not to lash out and act in a bad way.
Right.
Amen. What's the danger of you and I not walking in the Spirit's power? I'll tell you what it is. All these graces that are mentioned are going to be absent.
Right.
If they're absent to a degree, then what's going to happen? The opposite of them is going to show up.
Right.
Amen. You know why good churches go down? They quit being Spirit-filled.
Right.
You know why good ministries fall out of the way? They quit operating the Spirit's power.
Right.
You know why marriages fall apart? They leave the Holy Ghost out.
Right.
I believe honestly with all of my heart that the cure to many of the ailments of our day would all be fixed if we really got to the place was operating in His power.
Amen.
Oh, God, help me tonight.
Yes, sir.
You see, there is the fruitful life. But then in the text of Ephesians 5, go back to verse 9 and 10. We see not only is there the fruitful life that's evidenced by a Spirit-filled individual, but there's the faithful life evidenced by a Spirit-filled individual. The Bible said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How many see that in your Bible? A person that is full of the Spirit of God is seeking to be approved in what they do by God. Amen. A person that's Spirit-filled, you're not going to have to beg them to come to church.
Amen.
A person that's Spirit-filled, you're not going to have to badger them about reading their Bible and praying.
Right.
A person that is Spirit-filled is going to be seeking to prove what is acceptable unto God. Listen, they're not going to operate under the pressures of man. They're going to operate under that inward pressure of the Spirit of God and walk in His will.
Amen.
Because they want to please Him. Thank God for that. Spirit-filled life is a fervent life. It's a life of vitality as we seek to do for Christ His divine will for our lives. The Spirit-filled person will discern the will of Christ. They'll desire the words of Christ. They'll be dedicated to the work of Christ, and they'll delight in the worship of Christ. I'm telling you, friend, we worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
You see, those truths help us identify the fact. Sadly, we're oftentimes not as Spirit-filled and led and guided as we think that we are. There's a difference in an impulse and God really leading us. I'm afraid we live in a generation today that has mistaken impulse for the leadership of God. Because the one thing we know about the Spirit of God, a Spirit-filled person is going to be both spiritual and scriptural.
Amen.
You cannot divorce the Spirit of God and His work from the Scriptures because the Spirit of God is the author, divine author of the Bible.
Amen.
He knows it better than anybody else does because He wrote it. And everything he does within the parameters of what's written in His holy word.
Amen.
He's never going to violate it. That's why we know the charismatics of our day are so corrupt and so far out there, because what they're doing is operating outside the biblical guidelines of what God says the Spirit of God's going to do.
Right.
And I want to say there is a fine line between spirituality and sensuality. And that's why a lot of these charismatic crowds end up in all kinds of immoral sin, because everything they're doing is promoting the flesh. It's the flesh power. Everything's revolving around what the flesh can do. It's about performance. It's about what a person can do. I'm telling you, friend, it's not about what I can do tonight. It's not about a performance. It's not about how I preach. I'm telling you, what really matters tonight is that the Word of God is declared and the Spirit of God work in our heart to do something to help us to be more like the Son of God. There's evidences of being Spirit-filled. I won't say there's the extinguishing the Spirit-filled life. As the Spirit of God seeks to do His office work in the believer's heart, we know the Bible says you can do despite of the Spirit of grace. The Bible says that He can be quenched according to 1 Thessalonians 5:19. He can be grieved according to Ephesians 4:30. Oftentimes when he's quenched, He also is grieved at the same time. Although these two things are separate things. You see, when I quench the Spirit of God, that has to do with me not allowing the inward work to come out. For instance, if God led me to preach this message tonight, and I believe with all my heart that He did, but if God had spoke to my heart about preaching this, and I said, Lord, I don't want to, I'll preach this over here. The Spirit of God would be quenched in His office work in my life. Because I am not submitting to what He is guiding and working in my heart to do. You say, have we ever done that? Sure we've done that. All of us have done that. Have you ever felt like you should testify and God put in your heart to do so and you didn't do it? You ever felt like you ought to go pray at the altar and you didn't do it? It's just like everything God's been doing in that service, just like it died in your life because you didn't obey Him. You stopped what God desired to do in your life by quenching it. It is the imagery of a fire that's beginning to burn and you pouring water on that fire, extinguishing the fire. I don't want to extinguish the fire. I want to fan the flames. And I want to be that kind of Christian. I don't want to be the kind of Christian always pouring water on what God wants to do. You know, there are people like that in church. Can we have revival? Negative about everything goes on. Right. You believe a preacher's having another revival meeting? Yep. Amen. Yep. What are they doing up there at that church having revival again? Yep. Amen. At least we're trying.
Amen.
Amen. What y'all doing?
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Part of that crowd that's always complaining about what you're trying to do for God, they don't even come back on Sunday night and Wednesday night anyway.
Right.
How would they know what's going on at church?
Amen.
That's right. Praise God. I'm telling you, there's extinguishing by quenching. He can be grieved. And grieving deals with us hindering the inworkings of God in our life.
Right.
To be grieved. We all know what it is to be grieved. Anybody ever had something happen in your life that just grieved your spirit? We live in a day that the Holy Spirit is grieved by much that goes on in our day in the church.
Yeah.
You see, we live in a day that things go on in the house of God in 2024 that years ago didn't even go on down in the worldly places of this wicked old world. Amen? I mean, listen, there's some people, the way they dress to come to the house of God, listen, they dress worse than some people used to dress in the worldly places, down at the bars years ago. I'm telling you, friend, it grieves the heart of God when people live and act in such a way. You say, preacher, that's legalistic. Well, call it whatever you want to, but it's right.
Amen.
Amen. It's still right to be modest. It's still right to be moral. It's still right to live our lives in a way that pleases and honors God. And I'm telling you, friend, when a person's full of the Holy Ghost, they're not seeking the loophole. They're not seeking to live their life as close to sin as they can. Oh, no. They're seeking to be acceptable unto God and pleasing to God and honoring unto God. Amen. Well, there's extinguishing of His work. Number six, there's the exaltation, Spirit-filled life. The power of God has one purpose in mind. That is to exalt Jesus Christ above everybody and everything.
That's right.
See, when the Spirit of God moves in great power in a service, it's not as the charismatics would portray it. Everybody's not sitting around praising the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
When the Spirit of God shows up, He's unnamed most of the time.
Right.
And everybody's talking about how wonderful Christ is.
Amen.
You say, how do you know that? Well, listen to what Jesus said in John 16, 13, and 14. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Now listen to verse 14. He shall glorify Me.
Amen.
He said the Holy Ghost is going to glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lift Him high and glorify His holy name.
That's right.
You see, when we are really living in the Spirit's power, everything we're centered around is just to lift Him.
Amen.
Exalt Him.
That's right.
Make much of Jesus.
Yep.
You know what happens? You start making much of Jesus around the house of God. I know the context speaks of Calvary and Christ dying on the cross. But He said, and I, if I be lifted from the earth, will draw all men unto Me.
Amen.
He was lifted on the cross. But I've never seen a church that really get full of the power of God and the presence of God and let the Spirit of God work in them that gets sincere about lifting up Christ, that God didn't do something great for them. That's the way it ought to be.
Yes, sir.
It's the way it's intended to be.
Amen.
Amen. Spirit of God shows up, it don't matter who preached.
Amen.
Spirit of God moves and works, it don't matter whose name's on the flyer.
Right. Right.
Spirit of God moves and works, and nobody's going out and saying, man, what a preacher.
Right.
Everybody's going out saying, man, what a Savior.
Amen.
I'll leave you this illustration. A man went to England years ago, and he went to hear two of the noted preachers of that day. Went to hear Joseph Parker the first Lord's Day. He walked out from hearing him preach. He walked out with this statement, man, what a preacher.
Yeah.
Following Lord's Day, he went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle to hear Spurgeon preach. He said after he heard Spurgeon preach, he walked out and he said, man, what a Christ.
Amen.
Man, what a Christ. You know, when the Spirit of God moves on us, it's all about Him.
Amen.
Amen. All the problems we have with loving this world would all be gone if we just fall in love with Jesus, walk in the Spirit of God,
right,
not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, operate in His guidance and direction,
right,
and whatsoever He saith unto you, just do it, as Mary
Amen.
Said. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Just do what God says.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand our feet tonight. Be honest about it. Let the Spirit of God search us all, speak to us all. How's the love in your heart? How's the joy? You got peace? How are you operating around other people? You flying off the handle down at the job? If you are, you're not Spirit-filled. Amen. Because you might still get aggravated and get upset, but if you walk in the Spirit of God, He's going to help you.
Amen.
To behave in a way that Christ's name's not reproached.
Amen.
That's why we ought to live godly for His sake, His name's sake,
yes.
His glory. How's your faith? How's your temperance? How's your walk? How dedicated are you?
Right.
To God's work. God's word, God's will. How's your relationship with your pastor? How's your relationship with your pastor's wife? Amen.
Amen.
Tell you, never be right with God if you ain't right with the man God sent to lead you.
Amen.
Amen. Love on them. Support them. Will you always agree with everything your pastor thinks? Absolutely not. I know my church don't agree with me on some things. I tell them, you just going to have to deal with me.
Amen.
I'm who God sent.
That's right.
And I know I'm in the will of God.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to be brash or ugly or arrogant or mean, none of that stuff.
Right.
I'm trying to follow Jesus, love God, do what God tells me to do.
Yeah.
Try to follow His. That's all I'm trying to do.
Right.
Have a heart for God.
Yep.
You got a pastor that has a heart for God, for you. In these days, y'all treasure that. Y'all treasure it. There are churches all over this country looking for a preacher. Don't have a pastor. The other day, Brother Joe Bryant was mentioning some churches asking me if I knew any candidates. You know why? Because others have mentioned it. About everywhere I go, people saying, "Preacher, you know anybody could come."
Yep.
We don't have a pastor. Thank God for God's servants.
Amen.
Amen. You write to each other in the church. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You ain't living that life of the grudge. You ain't got that bitterness in your heart. Oh, no. You love each other. Amen. What about down at your house? Husband, wife? Is there enmity there?
Right.
Do you come to church, put a smile on, go home and play Cowboys and Indians? If you do, get and feel the Spirit of God to take care of that.
Amen.
So much tonight, preacher, honestly, so much in our churches would just be fixed just like that.
Yes, sir.
If we really understood what God said to us tonight, move toward God, draw near Him and walk in communion constantly with Him,
yes,
and let Him guide and direct us in everything.
Yes.
A lot of things I don't have the answer for, but I do know who the answer is.
Amen.
It's Jesus, and His leadership can help me. Tonight, if you'd like to join me, I'm going to get in this altar in just a minute myself. I want God's power.
Yes.
I want God's presence. I don't want to just go to meetings and take up time. I want to be used of God.
Sure.
Say what needs to be said when it needs to be said and be God's servant. That's my heart.
Amen.
I want to be His servant. And you'd like to join us tonight, this altar's open. You just come, respond to God. Might be tonight you need to go to somebody. Might be an issue. Your heart towards somebody. You see, you ain't never going to get it right with God until you get right with each other.
Right.
You might just need to say, I'm sorry, I've not been as faithful as I ought to be. And forgive me. I want you to forget. I've had this problem. I've got something in my heart toward a brother. I want to take care of it. Wouldn't that be great tonight?
Amen.
Have revival.
Yes.
Not talk about revival. Have revival.
Right. Amen.
You just obeyed God tonight. Do what He says do. Pastor, if you want to come, extend the invitation. I'm going to get down and pray. I need God to help me. I appreciate you being good listeners tonight. And you just pray the Lord will continue to work in us.
Yes.
All of us tonight, as the invitation is given, that we'll be sensitive to hear Him and heed what God tells us to do. Preacher, you can.